Hello there, welcome to another week's episode of the Hinted Neuron Podcast. On this week's episode of the podcast, you hear me talk with Tunde Afolabi. We talked about religion. I wanted to get his perspective on transitioning from being a Christian to being an atheist. He was a Christian, now he's an atheist. And, you know, we talked about religion in the Nigerian scene, talked about how his worldview has changed and what has changed for him and how he sees the world now. It's a very short conversation, and I hope you enjoy it. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, don't forget to contact me on Instagram or Twitter at Hinted Neuron. Also, if you enjoy this podcast, please leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Rate my podcast 5 stars on Spotify or Apple Podcast. And now, here's my conversation with Tunde Afolabi. I am here with Tunde Afolabi. Thank you for coming on the podcast.
The precious man.
We've been exchanging some series of texts, and you know, we decided to do this podcast to talk about some of the things we've been talking about. And one of those things we've been talking about is religion. We've had a few talks about religion and the state of things in Nigeria. So, because you've asked me before about what I think about theism and atheism, I gave you my own thoughts about what I think. But I think maybe you should, because a good starting point would for you would be like, maybe tell me what you think about theism and atheism.
Okay, all right. Theism, actually, it has the belief in the existence of God or gods, actually. So, atheism is the lack of the belief, right, in an individual. So, my take on that is, as somebody who doesn't believe in God, theism and atheism has been something like, actually, there haven't been much conversation going around or that I've heard about it in our society these days, but it's actually something that we should really speak more of, and people should clear, and people should understand. Like, there's this kind of division among people, apart from cultural division, which would be religious, I would say. Like, people that believe in God, mostly Christians, I would say, they have this kind of strong, some of them, if not most of them, they have this strong, as in, like, just trying to drag people into the religion, and you don't want to accept it. You just don't want to give in to any possibility that there could be God or something. You're just like, damn, you're just dead to them. And they, like, practically hate you and all that stuff. It's just one of the things that makes it difficult to understand and come to terms with among people. Yeah.
Yeah, you touched on something that, like, really is similar to what happened on Twitter one certain time. I think last week or last 2 weeks, there was this issue on Twitter about a guy or a girl who preached to a Uber driver, and the Uber driver was Muslim. So preaching the gospel to the Uber driver, but, like, he didn't seem to, like, confront her or anything. And it sparked a lot of debate on Twitter, because we were talking about the fact that we were, like, questioning whether that is right or not, that for somebody to just start preaching to somebody in a public space. Yeah, people said that is assault. People said, no, that's just plain evangelism, or, like, like giving different takes on it. But, like, it was this strong duality you will see this strong duality in takes on whether evangelism is good or not. What would you think?
In a situation like that, actually, the passenger that was trying to preach to the driver, right?
Yes, sir.
I'm not sure about saying it's right or wrong, because it's in two ways. Now, one, the passenger other than Uber to get them to where they're going. So they're in a strictly or more so professional environment. So there shouldn't be room for that sort of thing. So then when things that has now happened like that, when the passenger is now trying to minister to the driver and the driver turned that down. Why? What is people's problem with that? What is people's problem with that? Actually, they are not in any good environment. They are not in the proper environment for that. So actually, in a way, it can be said that the person that was trying to minister to that person is the person at fault. That's the person that's wrong.
You mean the person who was trying to pitch to Uber driver is the person that's wrong?
Yes.
No, I still don't know though, but personally, I've tried to think about it and I've tried to think about I rationalize it, but I don't want to rationalize it. That was because part of me would definitely not like it, because I don't know if you attended for people in Nigerian universities who stayed in the university hostels, they could relate to this. Really, those who attended Obafemi Abolo University, they were these church guys. I would not say church guys, I would say evangelism members who used to preach for them and say, can I get a minute of your time and this and that. Most times it becomes, yes. I think what I found out was that most of this time, these guys, try to be like, you don't have understanding or you don't have trying to like you are running away from the divine truth. All those kind of things is, I don't want to listen to you at this particular time. You know, if you could still persist, then I think that's harassment and it's quite persistent in our own culture or whatever. I don't know why it's been allowed.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. They'll approach you, they'll be like, can I have a minute of your time? And you try to politely turn them down and tell them that, okay, guy, I probably know what you're trying to say, and maybe you just give them a little introduction into your own ideas about it, and then they'll start blasting, start dragging you, start making you feel like less of an imam. That's exactly what I'm talking about. And there are that right there, that's the harassment. In fact, it's just even way much more than harassment, because just don't know. It personally makes me angry a lot, but it's just something that I can't take on people, because it's a matter of the way the mentality has been passed down from generations to generations. So it's just something actually very big, and taking it down, we have to require work on a very large scale in our society. In fact, it's our continent itself.
Yeah. And you know, although, yes, definitely. I also want to have, deeper into this conversation, because I think it's quite broad. There are many areas it could branch into. For you now, maybe as a person and with your own set of beliefs, I think I want to get to your own worldview in this sense, that because you were once the person who believed this certain thing and then you changed. Tell me what was maybe the Eureka moment for you, or the epiphany you had that you decided to see the world in a different way.
All right. As I'm saying this now, it's actually kind of personal to me, but I'm going to try to address it the best way I can right now. People are going to read a lot of spiritual meaning to it right now, as I'm saying it, but it actually started about six years ago, when after I lost my mom. Actually, it doesn't have anything to do with losing my mom, but at that point, so many things were happening around me, and I started to read more. I started to research more, and I was having a lot of moment of just sitting down and having critical reasoning, thinking about things, reading about things, and just there putting together, started thinking, how can it be? How can it be that, okay, we've been all our lives, we're kids, been going to church every day, we pray to God, they tell us that God is in heaven, way on earth here, Satan, when we're small, they say Satan is in the ground or below us actually. But then I'm thinking with every logical point of view and looking at it critically, none of it actually makes sense. I hope that people don't take offense from me saying that. It just does not make sense in any way. How do you expect me to believe that, okay, there's a God there in heaven to everything I've seen or heard or read about him? There's nothing so physically evident in his existence and in the fact that is the supernatural power controlling the earth and things that are happening in the minds of human beings around the world and nature. It all just does not make sense. Everything happening in and around the world, there's scientific explanation to them. But what is the logical, or should I say scientific explanation to the fact that, okay, there's a supernatural being not living amongst us here on earth, or there are some set of supernatural beings that are not among us that have supernatural powers to control things in the most, you know, in ways that are not so logical, in ways that are not so explainable. And you'll be hearing preachers or people that believe asking you to just believe with faith. How does that just does not, as in, I don't know, most of them people you say this to people are going to be like, you are so crazy, you don't know what you're doing, you are stupid for saying something like that. How can you say that? And it all just does not make any sense in any way. Sitting down and thinking about it, even most of all the people going around saying that, okay, this is what I believe, and I want people to believe it along with me. If you sit them down, critical, and ask them what exactly is the most logical thing you can make out of this, you can use to explain and prove something to me, they will have nothing to say to you. Or whatever it is they are going to be saying to you, I see all just things that are just like things that are mostly made up and not things that are really, really logical. It's just the thing, man. So I sat and I thought and I decided that no, I actually don't want to, I'm going to change my direction of belief. And I did that. Actually, it's been kind of not so challenging, I would say, because since I'm an adult, some of my friends, we've talked about it together, some of them that be like, guy, you are wrong. I just decided that there's no need for me to just be looking at it and let them just be saying all that I say. Just so that's how it was for me. Yeah.
What was the debate going in your head at maybe that particular time? Because for me, I'm this kind of, because I think we have one of these conversations before, and I'm like, I don't like labels. You get, I don't want to like be fully in one identity. I don't like kind of restrict myself. But what was the debate in your head? Like, okay, when you said, this is who I'm going to be, this is who I am, this is what I believe. What was the debate in your head like?
There are in so many branches, so many ways. At some point, I was just thinking about the definition of good and evil. Something about good and evil is that actually there's nobody, no person, no particular idea or method is actually created or known to be the most standard definition of what's actually good and what's actually bad. If we are being completely honest with ourselves, what is good? It depends on the 100% on the perspective of the particular person in question. Like, for example, now let me make an example. When there are two people, are in a room, and in the room there is a cup of water, and those two people know that they are going to die, and the cup of water is going to save one of them. Now, the first person, what is good to that first person at that point is for him to grab that water and take it. Now, that would mean that the second person is going to die. So, perspective on that situation now will be what will be in two ways. Some people will say he did what was right by saving himself and leaving the other person to die. Some will say he was wrong. He did what was bad. What did he do? He was selfish and he killed the other person. So now, that's just the most basic way. The most basic way to define what's actually good and what's actually bad in every situation. Because if you look at everything critically in the interaction between people, even animals, everything is just about everybody's actually fighting for themselves. So that's just one of the bits going on in my mind at that point. So if the definition of what's good and what's bad is actually on what the particular person in question decides to be, what is good or what is bad, then what is now the function of God at that instant?
I get you and I understand that. But I feel, but what you now say is that, do you feel like maybe as people, we could not define the moral principles for us that could help us know what is good and what is bad? I mean, if maybe you are not taking your own ethics and morals from a religious perspective, but from quite philosophical background.
Yeah.
Because you said we might not objectively know what's good and what's bad, but like, in maybe a philosophical perspective, we could define that for ourselves. You know, we could define our own morals for what's good and what's bad. What do you think?
To define what's actually good and what's actually bad depends. Some people decide to take their own based on philosophical, from philosophical point of view, some religious, some cultural, some society, the society and all that. And some just was popular or was trending, they just go along with it. And it's just all in different ways like that.
Yeah, I clearly understand you. I clearly understand you. But you know, right now, because maybe you look at your own self and maybe you look at yourself now, you look at your old self, what would you think maybe you would say to, your name is Tunde, right? All these, what would you have said to the old Tunde, maybe earlier?
Okay.
I don't know.
I don't know. If I see my past self right now, I'm just going to be like, man, what a fool you were. Because at that point then, it felt like, hi, I was just so not free. There were so many things you could not see. When you could actually say them, you're actually free to say them. There are just some things that you could not do. There are just a lot of restrictions, a lot of just based on. And one messed up thing actually with the way our society is now and the way they take religion. Most of rules that, you know, old people, or should I say parents, actually take to guide their children, and they make it look like it's religious, it's actually from culture. Like, for example, now, they say don't draw tattoo. Which part in the Bible they get that from? And meanwhile, there are some other religions out there that even endorse, you know, getting tattoos. So many other things like that, they're going to be like, don't drink. And particularly about Christianity, drinking, there are debates in it, even within the religious, you know, within the religious, among the religious people, they debate about it. They argue that what's wrong is drinking alcohol at all. And then some other people be like, you can have it, but don't get drunk and all that. So all that confusion and everything, I was just so confused, and my old self was so confused and not so sure what I was doing. I was not sure what I was doing. That's why I had to sit down and critically think about think about everything and evaluate everything and decide that no, no, this has not been going right. Things have to change.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I because I've had this conversation before. I think in episode, I had a conversation in episode 21 when I had a conversation with, I think episode 21 or 22 when I had a conversation with Busayo. We're talking about how we could build a set of moral principles, like not like build, like how we could, okay, for a child, how would you tell a child this is the right thing? Because if you think about it, some of the rules that we feel like religion places on us, they're actually good things, actually things that some of them are there to like protect us. And if we follow them, that we could actually turn out fine. So, all the things, yes. not all of them are, but I understand that in the sense that you try to make it in the way that, okay, if you don't do this, then you go to hellfire. In a way, it's trying to scare you from certain things that, okay, maybe if you don't do it, you will normally not turn out fine. So, like, just don't do it. But how would you explain that to a child that maybe without a religious backing, that because... Okay, imagine for someone like me, I'll think about what I've done. You get, I'll think about, I'll think about how I grew up. You get, I think about how my own life trajectory was like shaped. There are certain things I did not do because I was scared I would go to hellfire if I didn't do them. Now, good for me that I didn't do those things because maybe, I don't know where I would have ended up in. You know, there are just like a few basic things. But how would you, but now that I'm an adult, I could, you know what's good, how to do things in a certain manner without being scared of, okay, whether I'll go to hell or not. But for a child who is not really fully developed, how do you explain to him not to do certain things, like when you don't put that restriction that you go to hellfire if you do it? Because when you say, okay, this thing, just don't do this thing. But you know that there are no like eternal consequences for this, like you would go to hellfire if you do this. But he knows that there are no eternal consequences for either. Like you will not go to hellfire or all these things. But like,
having to say, I mean, those,
if you tell me, I would, if, because as a child, if you tell me I should not do this thing, you say I should not do it, but you not tell me there's no eternal consequence for it. I'm not going to help or anything. I would still like to do it because there is no consequence in the long run for me or whatever. So what would you say to that?
They are young. Actually, it's actually not recommended. I know. It's actually not recommended to bring them up with all that religious restrictions and, you know, so... In a situation like that, when you want to, like, say, you want to explain to each other that, okay, don't do so thing. Like, for example, now, there are a couple of ways. Some of them are actually, I don't know, maybe you could say extreme in terms of, like, discipline or whatever. Like, for example, now you give a child instructions, don't touch that water boiling there without saying anything. That's, for example, okay. If the child decides to go there and go against what you told him and dip their hand into the boiling water, now they are going to learn their lesson and they are going to know it for themselves. Okay, I know that sounds extreme. Other ways is you could actually just break it down logically for them, explaining things to them, give them all the various point of view from every angle you can think of or you know of as to why they should not. But also let them know that they are free to do it if they want to, but the consequences would be theirs to live with. That's like the most logical things that are going to happen, not just things that are like mostly fictional, like you go to hell and all that. But when you're telling them that don't do this thing, you give them various perspectives and the possible things that could happen, but you also let them feel free to know that actually they are free to do this thing, but you know, whatever they do, the consequences will be theirs to bear. You understand?
Yeah, but you know, if something I've thought about, because I had that conversation with Busayo and I didn't quite come to a good conclusion to, you know, back up any arguments that I brought up there that we could teach children, you know, their own morals and ethics on a pure philosophical background without relying on religion. Because if we are being honest, I think religion is good in a sense that it is a very good control mechanism. It's something that has helped for the number of years it has existed.
I would agree with that. I would agree with that. But, you know, there are some experiences I've had with some relatives of mine that I've stayed with, like one particular uncle of mine that at Ibadan, that man was, he's too extreme, man. He's too extreme. And in fact, it was at that point, was among the things that, you know, that aroused the, you know, gathered up all the thoughts in me. So some parents or what, you know, or people, they are actually too, they're taking it too far, and mostly on just things that are just so not logical, you know. And if, you know, you continue to you be extreme with these young people, you're going to push them. You're going to push them to a point where they are going to go back on their own, and they are going to think that, what's the meaning of all this? They're even doing to myself. All these things that they are saying to me, is it actually true? They are going to start thinking. They are going to start researching on their own and wanting to know the fact about it. Because actually, that point, that's just exactly how it was for me. That my uncle was too very harsh on me, and he was always justifying his harshness with the Bible and the religion. But at the end of the day, I'm going to hate that man forever.
I quite understand that, because yeah, if we are being honest, because there's these sort of critiques that have always come up about misogyny, about oppression, about homophobia, and so many other kind of things that have always come up from, you know, from religious circles, that a lot of suffering will, like, I don't think suffering is the right word. A lot of, is it wickedness? I don't know whether wickedness is very sharp a word there. Oppression, I guess, like on other people, just, you know, the power dynamics in religious circles. All these things happen, and people do all these things. I guess they could still justify it using their religion. And, you know, is one of those critiques that I've always taken seriously, which, if we are being honest, is very true. And I'm always very sad when people try to discount it. But what do you think that, you know, for yourself now? You probably see, you probably have a different worldview. Now, even apart from religion, there's culture.
Yes.
These two things are quite almost the same thing. You could say religion is a culture, since they are just quite ways to live by, yes, rules that they have, yes, their own rules. And would you say in your own worldview, you've transcended both culture and religion?
I guess, but culturally, there's still many things about me are still just customized, like the way they've been right even before I made that decision. Just, you know, there are actually many things I disagree with in my culture right from time that one having nothing to do, because you know things about culture, things about my culture particularly, are things that I've always questioned right from very young age. And at that point, we were actually, you know, I actually felt free to like discuss it with elders or mature people. And, you know, I got a lot of insights and various perspectives about them. So I'm actually quite liberal with my culture. So there's really no transition there.
Oh, expand on what you mean by liberal there. You say when you're liberal with your culture, what do you mean?
Just free. I'm a person of culture, but I'm not so very, very immersed in it. I'm not so very, very engaged with the habit and the traditions. There are just some things that I don't go, like, for example, now talking about things like, you know, young people call the address old people, they put brother before their name, or that's like sister, brother to me. Actually, I don't believe that stuff. I don't like it. I don't like it right from time, but it's just been something that's very common in our culture. I don't do that. So many other similar things like that. There are just some things that, you know, actually, as in, there are just some things about my culture that I don't, you know, do it the way other people do it, but there are still some things I still do the way it is expected of me according to the tradition, the culture to do so. I'm just free, and I'm not particularly strictly into it or abiding by the way things are done in my culture strictly. I just do, there are some things that I do the way they would expect me to do, and I just, there are some other things I do in my own way. That's what I mean. Maybe I use the wrong word there or something.
So before things are like, I'm interested in about, one of the things I'm interested in asking you right now is, how do you feel as a person right now? You know, how do you feel? Like, how do you feel now that you have maybe left religion behind? How do you feel?
I feel free. I feel happy about it. Actually, mostly not as if I'm rubbing it in the face of people that stick to it, that, okay, what you are doing is wrong and stupid. I'm not saying anything like that. But the thing is that whatever you are doing, people are supposed to be sure. You're supposed to know, like, for example, I always talk about this stuff with my friend all the time. The guy understands basically everything I always mean about me saying, okay, this is what I believe and what I don't believe. The guy understands it, but still, he's still maintaining his point that, okay, he's still setting his mind on that. He is believing in the existence of God and all that, but he totally understands my point. So now, people are free to make their decision, but you should really be sure. You should really be sure. You should be not just like, okay, somebody will now call you and ask you to, okay, explain to me so thing, and you now just be making logical explanations. I always talk to my friend. He always tell me that he understands my point of view. He understands everything about everything I always say. About, you know, trying to explain the inconsistencies about the existence of God and all that. But he chose to believe that, okay, there's a God in existence, or there are gods, or whatever. So that's just mostly what I would like people to take out of this. You should believe what you want to, but no, be properly informed about it. Have all the information, have facts, have your facts together and all that. That's just it.
I think that's very interesting. Next question is, what do you think is one of the most important questions we should be asking as human beings right now?
I actually don't think about that much, but now that I'm thinking about it, I think it should be our legacies, I guess, as people on earth. You know, what would be the mark of your existence this life? Because quite obviously, everybody is going to live once. Some people believe in reincarnation. It actually doesn't make sense to me, but you are alive now, this once. You don't know if you're going to an afterlife, or you are going to come back to this one, or after you're dead here, that's going to be the end of you. Actually, that's going to be the end of your story on earth here. So you should be like, you know, focused on the legacy you leave behind, because that's actually going to live a long time after you've gone. That actually makes sense to me in a way. Some could argue that that's probably not what it should be, but the way I see it, I think that's actually something that people should prioritize. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's really interesting. I probably have not even much thoughts to that before, but kind of like the thoughts and I fancy it.
Yeah.
My last question, which is the most important question on this podcast, and everybody gets to answer this podcast, is what's the meaning of life? What gives your life meaning?
Wow. That's really, really deep, man. That's a very heavy question. I'm not very sure right now about to answer it, but I don't know. I guess, let me think for a minute. Let me just think of something, because the question was the meaning of life. Okay, now life, defining life by the literal meaning, life is like, you know, what can I say? The existence of a particular person or organism, or in another way, life could also be just this word, the existence of people and the community, all that. But the meaning of life, I don't know, I guess. The meaning of life. Just thinking back to what I said earlier about legacy.
About legacies, of we leaving a legacy on earth, is what you mean?
I guess so, yeah.
Yeah, I quite understand. It means for us as human beings, we should live our lives in such a way where we kind of have something to show even after we've gone. Like something
to be remembered for. Yes.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting. Yeah, sure. Definitely. So right now, I'll put you on the spotlight. You see, I'll give you 1 minute to say anything you want to say to my audience. Tell them anything you want, where they can find you, or say anything you want to tell them. I'm listening to you.
Much about me, nothing so special. I'm a business person. I'm an investor. I'm a music lover. A little bit of a performer, let's maybe sing. Then I'm on Twitter at Mark Lorenzko, and also on Instagram, Mark Lorenzko too. It's nothing much special about me, but it's actually okay. And actually, I want to, you know, thank you and appreciate your time, for putting me on, you know, for having me here and having this talk. I've actually been looking forward to it, and I have to admit I've been nervous about it. I didn't really prepare much, but I know that's okay. I actually look forward to, you know, having talks with you, and, you know, more talks after this sounds will be better, because I'm sure,
yeah, definitely.
Probably this is my first time.
Yeah, I think we have to talk more on other topics and go on in other philosophical circles, I guess.
Yes, man. I appreciate your time.
Yeah, it was nice having you on the show.
Thank you, bro.
Thank you for listening to the end. If you enjoyed this podcast, don't forget to subscribe. Also, don't forget to leave a 5-star review. That's it for me this week. Until next week and until then, stay curious.